Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening. I just want to welcome each and every one of you to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I am your host this evening, Sister Carla. I pray that all had a wonderful week. And as we're getting ready for the Sabbath to soon, the sun to soon begin to set and the Sabbath to commence, we are here every preparation day starting at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also on Sunday from the same time with Last Day Events, and Thursday the same time with Health Reform Thursday. And I just want to welcome everyone listening near and far in China, Japan, the Netherlands, Canada, the Caribbean, or wherever you may be. England, I just want to welcome you this evening. Happy Sabbath as it is on its way. And happy preparation days for those that are time for those that are still have a couple more hours into preparation day. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you again for another day. We ask for your blessings. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your love, Lord. We ask for your peace and comfort within our hearts, within our home. I ask that you will fill me and put your words in my mouth, O Father, as I host, O Lord, and as I be a blessing to those that have no voice, those that I work with, Lord. I ask that you will continue to strengthen me to not be ashamed of the gospel, to share it with others, and also those that are listening. Give them your full assurance that you are with them wherever they may go, doing the work that you have called them to do, and you said you'll never leave them or forsake them. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit this day. Bless our family, our friends, our children, the young adults, our neighbors, even those that might not like us for whatever reason, Lord. But we ask the Lord to give us a wisdom and understanding to know how to deal with them and to point them to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you again. Please be with the speaker when the 8 o'clock hour come, Lord. Bless him, Lord, as he has prepared a message. The rider on the white horse has bless his word and fill him, bless his household and his ministry, and each and everyone as we come together to share in this preparation day, to share our testimonies, our prayer requests, our scripture reading, and to thank you and to praise you ever so much, Lord, because we know you are our creator. You are our redeemer. You are our life support. And we thank you for keeping us alive for a time such as this. May we glorify you with our body, with our mind, Lord, because they belongs to you and they are yours through redemption and creation. And we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line, and I will read for you and this was taken out of the Spirit of Prophecy. It reads, I pray that my brethren may realize that the third angel's message means much to us, and that the observance of the true Sabbath. So if there's a true Sabbath, of course, there's going to be a false Sabbath, which is Sunday. But the true Sabbath is Saturday. Continue reading. The true Sabbath is to be the sign that distinguish those who serve God from those who serve him not. Let those awake who have become sleepy and indifferent. We are called to be holy, and we should carefully avoid giving the impression that it is of little consequences whether or not we retain the peculiar features of our faith. Upon us rests the solemn obligation of taking a more decided stand for truth and righteousness than we have taken in the past. TDG 196.4. The line of demarcation between those who keep the commandments of God and those who do not is to be revealed with unmistakable clearness. We are consciously to honor God, diligently using every means of keeping in covenant relation with Him, that we may receive His blessings, the blessings so essential for the people who are to be so severely tried as you and I, to give the impression that our faith, our religion, is not a dominating power in our lives is greatly to dishonor God. And this is taken from Letter 128, July the 6th, 1902, to the General Conference Committee, and also found in the Medical Missionary Board, TDG 196, paragraph 5. Amen. And I will read a chapter from First Thessalonians. But before I read that, I will go to First Corinthians chapter 13. And this chapter should be read every day. And, you know, if possible, for us to commit it to our memory. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen? So I'll read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunted not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seek it not her own. Is not easily provoked. Think it no evil. Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13. Rejoice it not in iniquity, but rejoice it in the truth. Bear it all things, believe it all things, hope it all things, endure it all things. Charity never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, in this case I'm a woman, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage my brothers and sisters, read 1 Corinthians 13 daily, and again, try to commit to memory. Amen. So I just want to welcome my brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share. This is sharing time. Press 1 if you would like to share. And before I open the line, I'll go ahead and read the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 before I open the line. It said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye shall abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of conspiracies, even as the Gentile, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He, therefore, that despise not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So when we despise the word of God, or anything that has to do with the prophecy or the word of God, we're despising God and not man. So I'll go ahead and open the first line, 225-337. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I want to say happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, Sister Carla, and all that have joined us. Sister Carla, I would like to sing a song first, if you will, if I can. And I want to sing Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted us. Love lifted us when nothing else could help. Love lifted us. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. And the second one, all my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul, best song. Can't get that part. Faithful love and service to him belong. So love lifted me. Love lifted us. When nothing else could help, love lifted us. Love lifted us. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea. Below his will obey. He's your savior, wants to be. Wants to be saved today. So love lifted me. Love lifted us. When nothing else could help. Love lifted us. Love lifted us. I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for me allowing me to try to sing this song. And I could sing it a little bit, but praise God, I need the help. So I just want to thank God for attempting to try to sing this song And I'm just asking that you continue to lift me up in prayer. And thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Yes, we know that love lifted us. It was the love of Jesus. He gave himself for us. He died for us, and that's why we're able to sing and say, love lifted us, and we know God is love. Amen. Again, welcome, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Blessed Preparation Day. We're almost at the Sabbath. It's about a couple, you know, minutes away, and it's here, but we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, a prayer request, scripture reading. I believe Sister Consonelli is on. I'm not sure if you want to share or sing your song now. My sister, it is the time to press 1 to share, because after, you know, the 30 minutes, 7:30, we will just be doing prayer requests, testimonies, and no more songs. So I believe this is Sister Consonelli to share in her song and to testify of God's goodness. 581-423, your line is now open.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I was in our devotion together. So I was in our devotion. But I'm very happy and thankful to God. This week was an extra blessed week for us, because I'm on another prayer line sometimes, and this other prayer line, we had to raise some money to help the people in Corpus Rock, and they reached their goal day before yesterday. Everyone gave, and we are so blessed that they have enough. We got enough money to purchase the land for those people there, for them to have build a church, and for the children to go to school. Elder McBride is doing a lot of work over there in that part of the country where he lives, and we are supporting him. God is blessing. Yes. So we were very happy and pleased with what the other brethren did. You know, we worked together, and they raised the amount of money that they had to raise, and God is to be praised. So I was very, very happy. I want to sing this song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I know everybody should know this song, so I sing that song all the way. I'm going to sing 2 verses. All the way my Savior leads me. Let me start over again. All the way our Savior leads us. What have we to ask beside? Can we doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been our guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For we know whate'er befalls us, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way our Savior leads us, oh, the fullness of his life. Perfect rest to him is promised in our Father's house above. When we wake to life immortal, wing our flight to realms of day. This our song through endless ages, Jesus led us all the way. This our song through endless ages, Jesus led us all the way. Amen. You know, I want to read a few verses from Psalms 78. And it says here, from Psalm 78, we'll read in from verse 19-17. It says, their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his covenant. Yet he was merciful and forgave their sins and did not destroy them all. So this is speaking, this psalm is speaking about the children of Israel. They were not loyal to God. They did not keep his covenant, but he was merciful. And God is merciful not only to the Israelites there, way back in Israel, but even to us today, because we too are not loyal to God. We do not try to keep his commandments. Yet, we could say God is very merciful to us. He has spared our lives. This entire week, you could imagine, going out and coming in. And I sometimes wonder, you know, what have I done to deserve such good treatment from God? To be living all of these years when so many people have passed on. You know, that is something to think about and to give God praise and thanks each day that we eyes are open. We should praise God. And that is what I do every morning. As soon as my eyes open, I say, thank you, Jesus, for keeping me safe through another the night. Because the devil wants none of us to be alive. You know that? He was merciful, yet God was merciful and forgave their sins and didn't destroy them all. Many a times he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury, for he remembered that they were merely mortals, gone in a moment like the breath of wind. Never return. Oh, how often they rebelled against him in the desert. And you remember when they were wandering traveling from Egypt to Canaan, and they grieved his heart in the wilderness again and again. They tested God's patience and frustrated the Holy One of Israel. They forgot that God was such a mighty God to them, giving them a cloud to lead them by day, fire cloud by fire, no, a cloudy fire by night, and their shoes and all of these things did not worn out. You could imagine that. What a wonderful, great God we serve. And yet, although they see all of these things that God did for them, it grieved God. They still rebel against him and grieve his heart. And again, they tested God's patience and frustrate him, make him get frustrated. The Holy One of Israel, they forgot about his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. My brothers and sisters, we need to read this Psalms. And try to see how merciful, how gracious God is to us. And I pray this evening that as we celebrate these holy hours, that our hearts and mind will be so stayed upon him, and that we will not forget all the good things that God is doing for us individually, sparing our lives day after day when so many are being wiped out. Have mercy, Lord. I just want to thank you for this holy Sabbath day of rest, which you have caused to come down to this earth again. You have blessed us, Lord, and we are not better than anyone else. But because of your goodness and your mercy towards us, that's why we are here. And we just want to thank you for your holy Sabbath day of rest. May we continue to honor you, to obey your laws, to keep your Sabbath day holy, that others may see Jesus in us and be led to glorify him. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping all of us on this line, those who are listening. Bless us this day and keep us ever abiding under the shadow of your almighty wings. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. We are so happy to be here this evening, and we pray that you will bless each one, each listener that comes on this line tonight, and continue to keep us all under your grace. Thank you, Jesus. And I close here by saying, God be merciful to us. God be with us during these holy hours, and may our hearts and mind ever be stayed on you. And we ask all these blessings in no other name but in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. All
amen.
The way to Saint Jesus. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for sharing the song, the prayer, and the encouraging words. We all need to be encouraged, and we all, want to be the encouragers. So praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. So at this time, we're sharing testimonies and prayer requests after the 7:30 hour. If there's anyone that wants to share their testimony or have a prayer request, please press 1 so that I can open your line. And I'd like to share my testimonies. Had a tedious week, a relatively long week, and I just thank the Lord because even yesterday last night I was supposed to work, but God saw it fit that I didn't have to go to work, and I was able to host at the last minute because they needed a host. So thank the Lord for that. But I've met this young man, you know, I work with children that's their property of the state, child protective order, and with my company, we go and we also help as sitters because, you know, with the children, they need at least 2 people, depends how many children is in the, either like a group home or like a home, or, you know, they have a place set up for them. So this one 14-year-old young man, I guess he was brought into juvenile hall and into CPS until his court date was Thursday. So I prayed it all went well. That was yesterday. I don't know what happened, but he was out late, broke his curfew, and, you know, one thing led to the next. And he was there, and he wanted to run away actually again, and he didn't want to stay there. He wanted to go back home, but first he had to have a court date and, you know, whatever, you know, come out of that. And I was talking to him and encouraging him not to run away because it's going to make the matter worse, and to, you know, just wait and just be still and just, you know, think about what he's done to get him caught up in this situation. And I just plead with him and, you know, prayed for him, and he decided to stay and come out his room and kind of, you know, hang out a little bit. And I just thank the Lord for giving me the spirit to want to talk to him and engage him and continue to engage him. When he would say no, you know, a couple hours, I would go back and talk to him. And I had went Wednesday night, and he was still there, and, you know, with some more other children there, and they were playing basketball and different stuff. And I saw him, and he smiled, and I smiled, and I, you know, gave him high five. So I thank the Lord that he listened. And I had a Steps to Christ book, and I gave it to him, and I tell him to read it. Then that same day, I also met a young lady. She's 16 now, but she's been on drugs, I think, since 12, you know, smoking more than marijuana, the illicit drugs. She's been on it. Her mom was a, you know, on it, and since 14, 12, 13, on drugs, runaway. She's been raped, been through different situation, heroin and cocaine, I believe she said. And I just, you know, pray for her, and I just encourage her, and I, you know, tell her, you know, God wants to change her life. It's a reason why I met her and why I'm here. And you know, it was a blessing. She took it, and I had a little Bible someone had gave to me. It was just the New Testament, and I gave that to her, and I just thanked the Lord that I was able to encourage her and to give her that little Bible that someone had gave to me. So I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to minister to these children and to encourage them. And even the staff, a coworker, Wednesday night, we were just talking, and she was talking about different issues, and I was encouraging her, and I was sharing the Bible with her and helping her on some scripture to understand it, and she was so grateful and thankful. So I pray that I'll see her again, and I need to get some steps to Christ to continue to give out to others. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I'll go to the next caller. Thank you for being so patient and listening to my testimony. But God is good, and we have to give praise and honor. 804-238, good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open. Can you hear me, Sister Katie, I believe? Can you hear me, Sister Katie?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, now I can. Yes. Amen.
Okay. Yes, I would like a prayer request for my son Dominique and my and the rest of my family. He went to he had been to church at the Adventist church, and well, I'm not going to call the name of the church, but anyway, the pastor is preaching false doctrines. It's opposite of what the Bible is saying, and then his friends is telling him something else totally different, and it's like he has scales on his eyes now. It's like he can't see the truth for what it is. So I want to keep him in prayer that he will come back to God, and that the scales will be taken off his eyes so he can get to know the Lord again. And also keep me in prayer and my siblings as well, that we all have a closer walk with God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. We will keep your son in prayer that he would, you know, we have to trust in God and not men, because men will lead us in perdition. They'll lead us down the wrong path. But if we ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, he will. And we also keep you in prayer as this journey, you know, gets more tedious. And as we take this narrow path, it's not easy, but we know through Christ we can do all things, and he will strengthen us. And we are here to encourage each other and to pray for each other. So praise the Lord. We will keep you and your family in prayer, Sister Katie. Amen. We're going to the next caller, 518-951. Good evening and happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Okay. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. This is Sister Powell, calling from Kingston, Jamaica. I'm so thankful that I could be here joining with you, and I heard these wonderful prayers. I have to say, it's praise report, Sister Carla, even your testimony and your praise with the children, you know, because we know we have a big burden on our heart with our children. Our children is actually, you know, like the devil is just leading them astray. So it's very good when, you know, we can be able to see bet them and counsel with them and love them and allow them, you know, to keep their eyes upon Jesus. I have loving some here, my dear sister, and I am just asking for prayer for them, because, you know, company, when they fall in bad company and they do not believe that, you know, there is a God, and they just believe in what they know. So I am so thankful to know that God has been using you, Sister Carla, as a representative to carry the gospel message to these young ones and to whosoever you come contact with, as I have been doing it. And I know it's not of myself. I know it's the will of God, and God is the one who is guiding us. My praise report, Sister Carla. I'm doing well, much better. Thank you for, thank everyone for prayer with my vertical veins. It is actually coming on, but when I heard a report this day, this morning about my daughter, I don't know if she had stated it with her feet, just like actually the same part of my, what happened to one of my foot, and she is facing that same thing. And she said, Mom, I am telling you, I know that it is painful, you know, and what happened, she never experienced such a pain. But I said, my dear, you know what, I felt the pain sometimes, but it's all that the Lord allowed me to carry through those pains. So, you know, we have been praying for each other. She is actually home resting the feet. You know, she went back to school, and, you know, it was a difficult time, and just, you know, what the enemy is trying to do is to deceive me, to destroy us. And we have to be careful, my dear beloved, because he's going to plague the diseases and upon us. He's going to allow us to be discouraged, and he's going to allow us even to blame our dear loving Father. So I just thank God that God have given us these wonderful word of encouragement, and that we can trust in his word and believe in him. As we are facing, my dear beloved, tough times is ahead of us, and how are we going to face it, especially we as Christians in this time, and also to teach others about the tough time that is coming. We only have to trust God and believe that he is able, as he said, even the birds in the air he provides, and he make a way for even the lilies in the field. So when we know that our dear loving Father is there for us to trust him, we have to just share that love and that trust to others so that they can have somebody and someone to conquer on. So my dear beloved, that's my testimony, prayer. We have been moving with this project, and thank you all. And this, we went to Guysville yesterday. I went from January, it was December, so we went our last visit. So everyone was glad and happy to have the team with them, with us. And, you know, the little boy, Alex, he's not feeling well. He is sick, really. We have not seen him because he's actually put up away for a little while. You know, so we asking for prayer for Alex. The project is going on. We do some work there that completely finished, but the Williams is actually, Williams move in there for our home, in their home, because the home that they were living in burned down to flat as ashes. They were able not to, they did not save nothing, not even the clothes that they have there. So they were burned out completely, but their life is saved. So they are in the new home now, and it's still under construction, but God is good. So I'm so thankful that we were able to be there. You know, the little people in the community, they were so happy to have us with us, have us with them, and we, you know, share the love of Christ with them. So I'm asking you to pray for that family, and also lift up Alex so that God will touch his body. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying. Thank you for opening my line, and thank you for praying for me. God bless my mind.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and sharing. We did miss you yesterday, but we know that sometimes things happen, and God, you know, have us to be there to help each other, and we will keep you in prayer, and Sister Stephanie in prayer, and also Alex and the team there in Jamaica and the project in Jamaica. So thank you again for coming on and sharing. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. As we're past the 7:30 hours, we're only doing testimonies and prayer requests, and if you have a scripture reading, all of them very short. We will open the line and go to the next caller. And I'm going to open the line for 985-232. Good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Hold my line, Sister Caller. I was glad to hear Sister Powell's voice, and just pray and hope Sister Steph did well. And I was glad to hear from Sister Tamika. Thank God. They're okay and doing well in Florida. I have a prayer. Lord, thank you for awakening my spirit and making me alive in you. Teach me to live by your spirit, to be still and know your presence. You know the beginning and the end. So I trust in your innate knowledge and wisdom. Give me eyes to see and what you want me to see, that I may walk each day in the step with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. What a great prayer. Lord, if this can work in us, we'll be okay. But we're taking it one step, one day at a time. And as long as we continue to pray for one another, study and get knowledge of the Lord, and learning his understanding and knowing what he wants us to do and apply it, we'll step by step, we can all get what we need. And this prayer is what I'm looking for. And I will keep this one and read over and over. So I thank the Lord for sending these prayers to me, something that helps me to learn what I need to know. So I just thank God for his presence, words that I need to apply in my spirit, his spirit in my life. So I just want prayers for me and my family, that we continue growing strong in the Lord. And I thank the Lord for being so good and so awesome to us, because we was blessed from the storm with a new home. Ain't he good? The Lord is good. We was blessed with a new home. So y'all know I can tell you about the Lord. He's good. So, it took a while, but we're blessed with a new home. We have to go find us a new home. So I thank God for that. The whole home we own is damaged out. So I just ask for prayers to continue praying for our family, at being like family, and Sister Power in Jamaica, and Brother Udy, we haven't heard from him a long time, Brother Bernard, and their wives and all the other sisters and brothers the line and on the line, and brother one that sang. So I just want to continue praying for each and every one of us. We pray one for another. Have a blessed day, Sister Carla. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just say happy Sabbath to everyone. And just want to just thankful. As always, common blessings and things like that. I won't say too much. I just want to say to everyone to just keep love in your heart, have peace of mind, and faith to carry on, hope, and wonderful dreams that come true. But God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for coming on and sharing the prayer and all sort of encouraging words. And we, in strength, when we come in strength, we come in unity, we are being encouraged and we're being strengthened and we're pressing forward. And you know, being overcomer through the word of God and keeping his promises in our heart. So I will go to the next caller. This is the last person that has pressed one. I believe it's Sister Taimika. I'll ask her if she can give us just a brief word of prayer and whatever she wants to share, if it's her scripture reading or whatever it is, if she can share and give us a brief word of prayer. Amen. 272-770. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. God bless you. Happy Sabbath to all my beloved brothers and sisters. And I do have a scripture reading. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to give the Lord also praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning. And I thank the Lord for bringing us through another week. I'm so grateful that we're all here and that we can join together and fellowship together on this prayer line. We're two or more gathered, there he is in our midst. I'm so grateful to be here, my beloved. And I also would like to read Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And yes, I will give a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious Sabbath evening. We thank you for bringing us all together, dear Lord, that we may fellowship together. Lord, we bless your great and holy name. We magnify your great and holy name, Lord, and we glorify your great and holy name. We thank you so much, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We thank you that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you that you said in your word we are the apple of your eye. We are so grateful to be here this evening. Lord, I'm praying for all of my precious, beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line tonight. I lift up Sister Carla, who's hosting the line tonight, and her children, Nicholas and Amanda. Continue to bless, guide, and keep them, Father God. Cover them under thy blood, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit tonight and always, Father. We also are lifting up Sister Leola and her family, Brother Ray, and her children, Nicole and Jarvis, and her grandchildren. Bless, guide, and keep them safe, Lord. Bless them more abundantly, more than they can ever ask or dream. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up Sister Powell and Alex Nation. We're praying for Alex, dear Lord, that he will be healed. Give him a special touch of supernatural healing in his body tonight, Lord, and be with him and his family. We're lifting up the Williams family as we heard the good news that they have moved into their home. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a true blessing, Lord, that they are now in their beautiful home, dear Lord, that was built out of love. So, Father God, continue to bless them. Watch over them, guide and keep and protect them always, dear Lord, under the safety of your holy wings. Heavenly Father, we also are praying for Sister Powell and, dear Lord, asking for healing in her body and her legs. Ask also praying for her daughter, Sister Stephanie. Continue to bless Sister Stephanie and heal her, Father God. Provide her every need according to your riches and your glory. And by your stripes we are healed, as you are the doctor, Jesus. You are the great physician. So we know that you can do all things, and we know that you will heal your precious daughter. Bless her children, KJ and Kasha. Bless Sister Powell in Jamaica, dear Lord. Bless her ministry. Continue to keep her strong and strengthen her and keep her, Father God, in your precious holy hands close to your bosom. Lord, we are lifting up each and every person tonight. We're praying for our precious brothers and sisters. We're lifting up Sister Brenda and Brother John and her family, her children and her grandchildren. Continue to bless them, Lord. We are praying also for Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. Continue to bless him and his family. Bless all of his friends at the Daycold program, dear Lord. Provide and keep them safe, Father. We are also lifting up Brother Yudi and his wife, Sister Melissa. Bless their children and bless their Tree of Life health food store, dear Lord. Continue to be with them and continue to bless all of his beloved family members. Father God, we also lift up Sister Continelli and her family. be with her, Father God, and strengthen her. You know what she stands in need of, Father God. And we will be sure to give you praise and honor and glory. You're so worthy to be praised, Lord. We also are lifting up Brother O'Neill and his family. Continue to strengthen him and be with him. Walk with him, Lord Jesus, every step of the way. Strengthen him, Father. Hide him in the ark of safety, Father. And we thank you so much for him and his family. We lift up Brother Akeem James and his family members as well. Lord, we also lift up Brother Bernard and his family. Be with them always, Lord. We also are praying for Elder Rick and his family, his mom, his dad, his wife, his daughter Ashley. Continue to bless them, Father God. Cover them under thy blood, that nothing will harm, no hurt, no come nigh. Dear Lord, be with them always. And Father God, we are also lifting up all of us tonight. Dear Lord, I'm praying I didn't leave out any names. Sister Katie and her family as well. Be with her, Father God, and strengthen her. You know what she stands in need of, so we're asking for special blessings for her as well. So, Father God, we thank you for everything you have done for us tonight. We lift up Brother Ricardo and his wife, Sister Samantha. May you please be with them as well. We ask that you hide them, dear Lord, in the white robe of your righteousness. Cover them, Father God, under your sacred holy blood and keep them protected at all times, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Give us all tonight a special portion of the Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us, Father God. Help us to do your will, Father God. If there's anything that's not right within us, please remove it. Please, Lord, create in us a clean heart, renew within us a right spirit. Help us, Lord, and be with us tonight. Give us favor over our lives tonight, dear Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over every single name that I call tonight. We love you, Lord, and we trust you on this precious Sabbath evening. And may we continue to serve you and do thy will. Not our will, but thy will be done, each and every one of us tonight. And we leave now in your precious care and keeping, Lord, in the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray always with praise and thanksgiving on our lips. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tanika. And I will second that prayer. Kind and loving Father, again, I thank you for the prayer that Sister Tanika sent up. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins or trespasses, Lord, or iniquity or our transgression, Lord. Have mercy upon each and every one of us. Please bless Sister Tanika, Lord. You know her desire to serve you. You know her ups and downs, what she's going through, her appointments with the doctors, her going out, passing out tracts and books. We ask that you will continue to press her heart and encourage her, you know, that she will be an overcomer and that she will trust in you with all her heart, her soul, and her mind, that she will lead not onto her own understanding, but in all that way that she will acknowledge you, O Lord, and you will direct her path. Bless her in a marked way, her children, her husband, her family as a whole, her mother. We miss her mother coming on. Lord, be with her mother in a special way, Lord. Please supply her needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We also lift up Brother Rick in a marked way, his wife, his daughters, two daughters, and grandchildren, and the rest of the family and the community, the church family. We ask that you will bless them, that you will supply their needs. Glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, we lift up Elder Richardson and his family, Sister Richardson, and all the brethren there in Iron City, Tennessee. May you continue to bless them, supply their needs, bless the church, bless their homes, Lord. May they serve you with all their hearts, their soul, and their mind, Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, Lord, we present before you. We ask that you will answer them, Lord, that you will touch the brokenhearted, that you will heal the backslidden, that you will heal the sickness and the diseased body, Lord, because we know it is a sin to be sick, Lord. Help us, Lord. We truly repent, Lord. We acknowledge that we have done evil in thy sight, that, and we repent of our sins, Lord. Touch Sister Katie's son, Dominique, Lord, open his eyes. Give him wisdom and understanding into the truth and into your words, oh Father, Lord. Help him not to adhere to false doctrine, Lord. Give him eyesight, Lord, so that he can understand and see the things as they are and in truth and righteousness, Lord. Have mercy upon his children and the mother of the children, Autumn. Please help them, Lord, whatever they're in need of, Lord. Please, Lord, speak to them in the language and in a way that they can understand you so that they can turn from their evil ways and serve you. Oh, kind and loving Father, we thank you again, Lord. We thank you again for all the prayers that has went up already, the blessing on the Brother Ricardo and Sister Samantha and the message that he had for us, Lord. Please fill him with your Holy Spirit. Please bless those who are listening via the internet. Whatever their needs is, supply it, Lord. Whatever the condition that they're going through, may they hold on to your unchanging arm. May they look unto you for strength, for help, because we know our help cometh from the Lord, who sits high and look low to see if there's any that did understand or any that seek him, Lord. And we're seeking you, Lord. We want to understand. We want to be obedient. You said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Teach us how to keep your commandment and love you with all our hearts, Lord. Bless our brothers and sisters near and far. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for Brother Ricardo. Brothers and sisters, I pray you have a notepad, a writing utensil, and your Bible, your sword with you. Amen. 610-704, your line is now open.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Stay safe through another week. The Lord has brought us on our way. God is good. And all the time, God is good. So this evening, beloved, we're going to look at the white horse and its rider. We're just going to look at the history of the church and how, when we're dealing with the history of the church, we're dealing with Christendom, not only Seventh-day Adventists. We're talking about the whole body of Christendom. So we're going to do all of this. We are doing a series on the white horse, the black horse, no, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, pale horse. And just to show you where we are at in Bible prophecy. So some of you do not understand the history of the church, so bear with me. I'm going to try to go very slowly. So as Sister Carla said, I pray that you have your writing instruments and your notepad. I like to take notes to go back and to see if these things are so. Whatever I said, beloved, you must fact-check me. You must go back and to see whatever I said unto you is so. Remember, your soul salvation is at stake. Beloved, this is very important. When you come to listen to a minister, do not just come to listen and do not take notes. You must take notes and to go back, if I speak not according to the testimony, beloved, and the word of God, there is no light in what I'm saying unto you. So let us go into the word. But before we pray, so what we are going to talk about today, we are going to look at the white horse during the, we are going to look at the white horse period. During this period, the church was in a pure state. Today, the church is no longer in a, God is going to shake the church and bring it back to a pure state. This is dealing with the apostolic time. So before we go in no further, we need to, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can you silently pray for me as well while we go into this deep study of God's holy word? So Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the privilege of this Sabbath again. Thank you so much for the privilege of this prayer line that we all can come together and tell of your goodness in our lives, tell of the testimony or prayer requests and songs and scripture reading. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And now, Lord, as we are about to go into your word, oh God, there is nothing in me, oh God. I'm asking you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to touch my lips, touch my mind, touch my brain nerves, and help me to present your word clearly. To your people. Bless my brothers and sisters. Fill them now with your presence of your Holy Spirit. We invite you in our house. We invite you in our heart, in our life, in our surrounding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right now, beloved, go with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Remember, beloved, when we are reading the book of Revelation, we have Daniel and Revelation. One is a prophecy and one is a revelation. These books, they are one. So the book of Daniel is the prophecy. And the book of Revelation is dealing with the revelation, the prophecy of Daniel. But nevertheless, the book of Revelation is written in symbols. So while you are at Revelation, 6, 1 and 2, I'm going to jump to Revelation 1. I'm going to lay a foundation to show you because we are dealing with symbols. Are you with me, beloved? We are dealing with symbols. What I just said? Symbols. And in order for us to unravel these symbols, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. So while I'm going to show you these things, I'm going to silently pray quietly in my mind so the Holy Spirit can touch my brain nerves to rightly divide in these words of truth to you. Amen? So now in the book of Revelation 1, we're coming back to Revelation 6, verse 1 and 2. And I'm trying to show you something, laying a foundation. In the book Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That word signify mean God put in symbols, meaning God hide these heavenly truths, these heavenly gems. But in order for us to understand these symbols, to unravel and to put these things together, it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who's going to help us, who is our divine teacher, going to help us to understand spiritual things. Are you with me, beloved? No, God pronounced a blessing on the book of Revelation. What do you mean by that? Look at verse 3, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. God pronounced a blessing on the reading and the study of the book of Revelation. But we are told we must study the book of Daniel and Revelation jointly. Watch this now, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is that time, beloved? That time, the time when probation about to close, the time when God's people must take heed to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, the time when we need to take off our Babylonian garment, the time when Jesus said he will give us a white garment, beloved, the time when we will have no more high priest, the time is at hand. Are you with me, beloved? Now go back with me now to Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, verse 1, read. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seal, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2. And I saw and beheld a white horse. Behold, a white horse. So now these are dealing with symbols now. Bear with me. We're going to break these things down. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering unto conquer. This is dealing with the apostolic church during Peter them time. It's from AD 31, AD 100. The church was in a pure state. The church was represent Christ in all of the fullness of the Godhead. Are you with me, beloved? So now we are dealing with, the Bible says in verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. We're gonna explain horse. The horse represents the church, and the rider is Jesus Christ. Are you with me? No, white is a symbol of purity. Are you with me, beloved? And I saw and behold a white horse. This is not, the white horse is dealing with the condition or the spiritual condition of the church, mean the church is pure. But in order for God to get back a white horse church, the church have to go through persecution. Bear with me now, beloved. In order for the church to come back pure condition, the church have to go through persecution. Why the church is not being persecuted? Because the church conformed to the ways of the doctrine and the pagan teaching of the world. But bear with me now, beloved. We are dealing with some deep study now. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and him, and he that sat upon him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering unto conquer. Meaning Jesus go in the power of the gospel, going to conquer and to conquer. When Jesus left earth and go to heaven, when you and I go out there in the highways and the byways, with the Bible commentary, Step to Christ, Great Controversy, National Sunday Law, on all of the books. What we are doing, we are going to conquer and to conquer. We are conquering for the kingdom of God. We are trying to win souls for the kingdom of God. Remember, in the upper room, how many were baptized? Well, 3,000. The disciple was going to conquer and to conquer, beloved. So now go one more step with me now. Go with me to, we're going to look at horse. In verse 2, these are symbols. And I saw and behold a white horse. Who does white horse represent? Go with me to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. The white horse rider is Christ. The horse represents the church. Let us see if this is so. Go with me now. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. Many dear say amen. Amen. All right. Many, my anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of Judah, and had made them his goodly horse. Who is the church represents what? The horse. Watch this now. We're coming back. And had made them his goodly horse in the battle. Hold it right there. I'm going to read this over, so I want you to catch it. Mine hunger was kindled against the shepherd, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts have visited his flock, the house of Judah. Hold it right there. You see a comma, right? Who is Judah? Who does Judah represent today? Judah represents the Seventh-day Adventist. But hold it right there. Let me give you a Bible now. We're not dealing with denomination. We're dealing with the truth right now. Watch this now, beloved. Judah. Because the Bible says the flock, he visited the flock, the house of who? Judah. And had made them his goodly horse. So God made who? Judah, his goodly what? Horse. Go with me now. Psalms. We're coming back to Zechariah. Keep your finger at Zechariah. We're going to do some line upon line, precept upon precept, all right? Go with me to Psalms, what? 60, verse 7, yes? Psalm 60, verse 7. We want to know, who is Judah? Let me show you something right here, beloved. Judah. Because remember, when they say, if you cannot run with the horseman, how can you run with it? No, if you cannot walk with the footman, how can you run with the horseman? A lot of us say this, but we do not understand the saying. But in the future, we get it, beloved. Psalm 60, verse 7. Let me go there right quick. Psalm 60, verse 7. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Watch this now. Judah is my what? Lawgiver. So when the disciple, when Jesus sent the disciple out, beloved, they're going out with the righteous, with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And also what? With the law of Jesus Christ. Are you with me, beloved? Because we cannot teach the law without Christ. And we cannot teach Christ without the law. They go hand in hand. Are you with me? Because Jesus, lawgiver. Remember now, the law cannot save you and I. The law is just the knowledge of you and I what? Sin. The law tell you now, when you look into the mirror, let us use the mirror as an example. When you look into the mirror, the mirror tell you that your face needs to wash. Are you with me? When you look into the liberty of, when you look into the law of liberty, the law tell you that you fall short of the law. No, the law send you to Jesus. And when Jesus clean you up now by his righteousness, by you confess and ask him for the strength, no, Jesus send you back to the law. And when you look into the mirror of the law says perfect and just still. Are you with me, beloved? Does these things make sense? So now, Judah is what? God's lawgiver. Only one church exalt the law or magnify the law of God is Remnant Church. Are you part of that body? Because remember in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him. Hold it right there. Notice what the word says. Worship him that made the heavens and the earth. Only Judah is saying, because Judah is the what? Lawgiver. Judah is saying the church that God called is remnant also represents Judah. Judah is saying that worship God that made the heaven and the earth. So Judah is planting back the people mind back to true worship. So Judah is going on to conquer and to conquer. Are you with me, beloved? Now, the horse is a symbol of the church. You get that, right? Go back with me to Zechariah. We'll read it one more time for emphasis. My hunger was Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. My hunger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of who? Judah, and had made them his goodly horse in the what? Battle. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we sign up for war. We in a battle. And now you are Christ's horse. You represent the horse. Going in, going to conquer and to conquer. The horse is a symbol of the church. Its color represents her spiritual condition. Are you with me? Because remember, white is a symbol of what? Purity, right? So let us see if this is so now. Because remember, we're looking at horse, and the Bible says, behold, I saw a white horse. So let us look at the color white. The church represents what? The horse. White, we're going to look at white. White is a symbol of our purity. Let us see if this is so. Watch this now. Go with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. The horse is a symbol of the church. Remember, while you're going there, I'm going to read some stuff for you. Daniel chapter 10, 12, verse 10. The horse is a symbol of the church. Its color represents her spiritual condition. What is the color? White. And the rider or responsible leadership is Christ. As the church is determined by the leading official, the horse represents the swiftness with which Christianity went forth to the conquest of the, The horse represents the swiftness which, Christianity went forth to the conquest of the world. Go with me now to Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. We're looking at white now. We'll just look at the horse, and we realize that the horse is God's people, the remnant church, who exalting and magnifying the law of God. Now look at white now. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made what? White. Hold it right there. Many shall be what? Made what? White. Hold it right there. When will the church gain back this white garment? The church have to go through persecution, beloved. Because the church compromised. While we are in this series, I'm going to break these things down by God's grace. And to show you how the church lost her purity. Now, at this condition, beloved, where we are looking at, the church is white at this moment. The church is pure at this moment. The church is representing Christ at this moment. The church is going into the power of the gospel. Going into conquering and to conquer. For the kingdom of God. But something happened down the line. The church was so pure, beloved, the church went into persecution. And some of the church that compromised, some of the members of the church that compromised dogmas and the pagan teaching. And so because of that, and accept worldly gain and worldly honor and worldly prestige and worldly power. So because of that, the church lost our purity of doctrine and practices. And next week, by God's grace, we're going to come to the red horse. Not next week, sorry. Let me calm down. Next time. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. I'm too excited. Let me slow down. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Write these things down, beloved. Please, write them down. Write them down. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Remember again, the white horse is a symbol of the true remnant church. Are you part of the remnant church, beloved? Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Remember, We're looking at Daniel. Many shall be purified and made what? White. Everyone who overcome on a daily basis. Jesus promised you and I a white garment or a white raiment. Watch this now. He that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of what? Life. But I will confess his name before my Father. Holy to this. Only those who are confessing the name of Jesus Christ. Only those who are protesting against error, against false doctrine. Only those who are exalting the law of God and exalting the righteousness of God and magnifying it in their whole life and living it out. Jesus said, I will confess your name before who? My Father. What am I to God and says? But I will confess his name before my who? Father. And before who? His who? His angels. You and I have guardian angels going back and forth to heaven on our behalf. We are Protestants, beloved. Go with me one more step. We're dealing with white. Because remember, the white horse, is dealing with the condition of the church, or the spiritual condition of the church, meaning fear. Go with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. When you go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, keep a finger there, and I'm going to show you something. I'm going to highlight something. The Lord wants me to give you this. If you're writing this down, go with me to Isaiah. Keep a finger at Revelation 19, verse 8. I'm coming back there. Something popped up in my mind. I have to show you this. When will the church be pure and white again? Let me show you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, I believe. Let me go there right quick. Keep a finger at Revelation. Because persecution is coming. Can you see the handwriting on the walls? Beloved, can you see the mandated laws? You're not seeing that they are telling you to register your own garden. You have a little garden in your backyard there, so you must register it. You're raising chicken there, so you must register it. Cows, you must register it. Yes, beloved. They want to give you even your toilet, beloved. The power that be want to change your toilet, soul, beloved. Even your own fridge, beloved. They have fridge, beloved. You can touch your fridge and talk to the fridge, and the refrigerator will tell you what you are lacking in your refrigerator, beloved. Even the hood stove, they are banding now, beloved. They say you can get up to 3 years of felony. Because why? All of these things to come back, climate change. Like never before, beloved, do not come on this prayer line lazily and clumsy and sleepy. You need to wake up. Wake up, Advent Life. You cannot have this ministry and call yourself Advent Life. You need to act like the children of life. Jesus said, the children of this world, who is the children of this world? The children of darkness, they are more wiser than the children of light. The children of light, they profess my name, but when it comes to spiritual things, they are dumbed down, they are lazy, they are fat. Beloved, you need to come on this prayer line with seriousness. Your soul's salvation is at stake. Do not come up here and just listen. Take it to yourself. I must take heed. When will the church learn righteousness? It's coming, beloved. Those of you who fail to study, those of you who fail even to write down, even to jot down even one scripture, the time will come. You will say, woe unto me when I have all of this opportunity on Advent life, when I need to write down this scripture. Woe unto you, beloved. Jesus said, a famine is coming. A famine is coming. You will not hear these messages anymore. You will run to and fro. You will go to Jamaica, Japan, China. You will never hear present truth. Truth is falling to the street, beloved. Nothing but violence, war, and crime and violence is increasing. You must have a foundation and stand on the sure word of prophecy and the Bible, beloved. This will keep you in the last days. But if you are lazy and indifferent, warn to you and I. You must study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Beloved.
beloved, faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. What will overcome the word? Faith. How can I increase my faith? How can I increase in faith so I can endure, I can stand, I can have a faith that can withstand hunger and deprivation, beloved? Homelessness, faith. How can I increase faith? Faith come by hearing. Hearing what? And hearing the word of God, Advent Life. You're not only supposed to hear, but go back and to search and to see if these things are so. And while you're searching, Jesus will accommodate you with angels. The Holy Spirit will dare and to impress upon you on your mind and give you this revelation that's coming from heaven and to light up your mind with the revelation of Jesus Christ and to soften your heart and to break so you can break up your fallow ground. Turn! Time is running out, beloved. Time to study. Time to put your face into the book. Put your eyes on the page and to read. Tears, beloved. The time is coming when people will fall into the street. Mothers will not mourn over child. Stepdad will not mourn over stepdaughter. Grandma will not mourn over grandchildren, beloved. Many of brothers and sisters, many of us, we're going to swim in the blood, in our own blood, in the streets, beloved, on the highways and the byways, in our house. Death is coming, beloved. Death is coming. But Jesus said, he that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I will hide you when the indignation is passed over. I will hide you. Some of us, we do not know. Some of us, 70 Adventists, we are saying that the chip is the mark of the beast. Dying of lack of knowledge, 70 Adventists, we have all of these messages. We fail our people when we do not want to read. We fail our people when we come into storytelling. We fail our people when we undermine the present truth. We must preach all of our message, all of it. Truth never die, beloved. The lapse of time never. I will not and cannot lessen the value of these messages. We must preach and tell our people. We must preach and teach the people between what is holy and all unholy, beloved. But some of you, even though you're getting this message of killing, time is coming. And some of us, we wish we take up our Bible. Some of us, we're going to wish. When it's same time with Jesus, some of us, we're going to wish. We don't have no Bible like you. You can't even, can, when the time of trouble come up, you can't even quote John 3:16. Cannot fail to study. Cannot claim a promise. Fail to study. Beloved, go with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. When will the church understand? When will the church get right? When will the church get serious? When will God's people start to study? You ain't studying for man. You're studying for your own soul salvation. No foolish virgin will go to heaven. Do you know that you have to go to school and get certain credited subjects or whatever to have certain jobs and be qualified to serve from jobs? Beloved, in order for you and I to go to heaven, you must be wise. The Bible says, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise, wise unto salvation, wise to obtain eternal life. Hey, no foolish. God said foolish people, but you don't keep them. He train you and educate you so you can become wise unto salvation, not foolish. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee. For when thy judgments are in the earth, Lord have mercy, save me. It had the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Are you hearing this, beloved? When will the church? For when thy judgments are in the earth. Revelation 6, 7. Revelation 14, 7 said, of his judgment is God. And many, it's going to be too late. Many will say, run from him to the rocks and to the mountain and say,
fall on us and hide us from him that sat on the cloud. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn whose righteousness, Christ's righteousness, will obtain the righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I need this too. I'm in the same predicament like you. Go back with me now, Revelation 19, verse 8. We're dealing with why? Purity. Because in order for God to bring back his church to a pure state, the church, many, have to be shaken out. Many Seventh-day Adventists, they're just waiting for the seven last plague because we are shaken out of truth. Because we are told that we must be settled spiritually and intellectually. Settling the truth. Cannot be moved with all wind of doctrine. Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and what? White. Jesus tried to help us, beloved, bring us back to this condition, bring back the church to this condition. Even though the Seventh-day Adventists, we see bedlam of noise and all of this music and dancing and jumping and shouting, and many say that this is the movement of the Holy Spirit. This is the false revival we see going on. But the true revival is coming from the studying of the Word of God. Confusion with Babylonian things in God's church. Many of them, they are on their way out, but you need to study. Study and to say what does say the Lord, not what does say the church. Don't follow what the saints of church say. Church policy change, but God's policy never change. I stand on the word of God. If the church policy is not in accordance with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, fell with your rules. Clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There is no righteousness in us. It is the righteousness of Christ. Now, who is the rider on the white horse? Because, remember, Revelation, go back with me for emphasis. Go back with me to Revelation 6 again for emphasis. Bear with me. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Revelation, for a little emphasis, so put our eyes back on this verse. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, sat upon the horse, rather, had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, who is the rider on the white horse? Who is this rider? Go with me to Revelation. Okay, we're in Revelation. Go with me to Revelation 19, verse 11 to 13. Revelation. Christ is the leader of the remnant church, and he is instructing the members on how to conquer and how to go forth to conquer with the everlasting gospel. I read it again. Christ is the leader of the remnant church, and he is instructing. How Christ is instructing us? Through his word. What do you mean instructing? Remember, 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration means God breathed. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. Notice the word here, for instruction, instruction, righteousness. So Christ is what? Instructing the members on how to conquer and how to go forth to conquer with the everlasting gospel. But many become so wise, they want to do their own thing. They become wiser than Christ. Foolish. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 13. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Right, they say, we are not off track now. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. When you and I going out there in the highways and byway, you are in a war. You are not war with flesh and blood, but you are war with, you and I, we are fighting with against what? Principalities, against powers. in Revelation again, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 13. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a what? White horse. The horse represents what? The church. And who is the rider? Jesus Christ. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is Jesus, the rider on the white horse. These are dealing with symbols. Are you with me, beloved? Because the one, if you're on a horse, you're going to turn the horse where the horse needs to go, right? Jesus is leading his church. Even though we see all of these apostates in our movement, these Pharaoh, these modern-day Pharaoh, but Jesus Christ is the leader of his church, of the remnant church. Even though it looks sickly, you and I, we must fight. The church in a fighting stage right now, beloved. You cannot give in. Don't throw in the towel because it's going to get worse and worse. You ain't seen apostasy yet. It's going to get worse and worse. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew. But he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the True Word of God. We know this is Christ right there, plain and straight. And his name is called what? The Word of God. So Jesus Christ is on the horse, riding the horse, going conquer and to conquer. So the church represents the horse. The leader of the horse represents Christ Jesus. It's Jesus Christ is the leader of your life today. In William Miller Evidence, page 180, William Miller Evidence, or Miller Evidence, page 180, the white horse and him that sat upon him represent Jesus Christ going forth in the power of the gospel. I read that again. The white horse, who? The white horse and him that sat upon him represent Jesus Christ going forth in the power of the gospel. So when you and I, we are going out, Jesus Christ is supposed to be leading us. And we are going in the power and in the name of Christ, going to conquer unto what? Conquer. Now, remember in Revelation, go back with me to Revelation 6:2. All of these, we are breaking down symbols. We look at the white horse. We look at him that sat upon him, which is Jesus. And we look at white. White is a symbol of purity, right? Go back with me now. We're looking at the bow. The bow represents the word of God. When I'm speaking to you right now, I'm shooting bows. Bow and arrow, beloved. The shooting represents the word of God. These are symbols. Bear with me now. Revelation again, chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw and behold a white horse, and him that sat upon him had a bow. We're looking for the word bow, right? And a crown was given up unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now we're looking for this word bow. What does the bow in the rider hand represent? Go with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to look at arrow and bow. The Bible is going to explain, remember. The Bible interprets itself. Why I give you a lot of scriptures? Because I like the Bible to explain itself. Are you with me, beloved? My opinion means nothing. So I let the Bible speak. So I will give you, I'll ask you a question, but let the Bible answer. Are you with me, beloved? So watch this now. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9. Write this one down. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9. When you do it, say amen. Amen. Thy bow was made quite naked. Thy what? Bow. So we're going to use other scripture to explain what the Bible is saying to us. Amen? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oath of the tribes, even thy word. Selah, thou didst cleanse the earth with rivers. Now we're looking at the word bow, right? So the word of God is naked. The word of God don't have no clothes. So when the word of God penetrates you and I, it exposes us. It, it, it put us in the hoping. It lay our sins on the table, all of our sins. So now the word of God, when you and I are going to conquer and to conquer, we're not going to represent ourselves. We are going to represent Christ. And when we ask Christ for direction and instruction to lead us how to witness and how to do evangelism and to go knock upon door, Christ will put words in our mouth and our words will become like bone, make quite naked, penetrate in the heart. Watch this now. Go with me one more step. We're dealing with bone. The Bible said thy bone was made quite naked. Now let us clarify this with another scripture. Go with me to Psalms 45, verse 3 and 5. Psalms 45, verse 3 and 5. Psalm 45, 3 to 5. When you're there, say amen, amen. All right. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. With thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty write prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Remember, beloved. Remember, Jesus Christ is the what? Is the writer. And the church, the worship is at what? The church. Are you with me, beloved? So I want you, I say this so you can understand what you are reading. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty, write prosperously. Because of what? Truth. And what? Meekness. And what? Righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows. Remember, when you have a bone arrow, the bone arrow is the word of God. Amen? Same thing. Watch this now. But the Bible is going to bring these things for us. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the kings. Enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Hold it right there. So when we are preaching and ministering to others, the words that you are speaking, remember when you ask Christ for his help, when you pray for the Holy Spirit to go with you, your words, they become like arrow. And what they are, where the words are penetrating? The heart. Mercy. Powerful, right? Thine arrows are sharp in the enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Go one more step with me. Isaiah 49:2. Let me make it clearer. While you're going to Isaiah 49:2, I read a statement for you. The bow, like the two-edged sword, represents the word of God, which the arrows of conviction are sent forth by the Holy Spirit to pierce the guilty conscience of the sinner. Notice right here. When you are speaking to others, the Holy Spirit activates your words. They become living arrows, living fire. When you are speaking, you do not know what is going on into the person. Their words, those arrows that you are piercing, breaking up the stony heart, beloved. Are you with me? Now go with me to Isaiah 49, verse 2. And he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. And in the shadow of his hand had he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver had he hid me. In other words, God made you and I mouth what? Like a sharp sword. And what else? And a polished shaft. So your words must be polished. When your words, they are polished, beloved, Jesus will use those words. When you are witnessing for him, when you are going to conquer and to conquer for him, these words, they're going to penetrate and they're going to make quite naked, pierce the heart. Let me give you an idea. Go with me to Hebrews 4:12. Go with me. Let me show you something. Because remember, the arrows go into the king's heart. Hebrews 4:12. Remember, some of you are familiar with this one. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your words now. When you ask Jesus for his Holy Spirit, when you're quoting scripture under the influence and the power and the leading of the Holy Ghost, your words, they become like a two-edged sword, like also a bow and arrow. Watch this now. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. And of what? Soul, going to the soul, and the spirit, and of joints, of mercy, and marrow. Marrow, joints, joint pain, in the marrow of the bones, mercy. And is a discerner of thoughts. The word of God penetrates in your thoughts. And in terms of the what? Heart. Remember the arrows are sharp in the heart of who? The king. The word of God must penetrate you and I what? Heart. So we can break up our fallow ground. So we can turn away from our darling sin. Let me read Acts of the Apostles for you. Acts of the Apostles, page 45, paragraph 1. Acts of the Apostles, page 45, paragraph 1. Listen to this now. The argument of the apostles only. Sorry, the argument of the apostles alone, though clear and convincing, would not have removed the prejudice that have withstood so much evidence. But the Holy Spirit's arguments home to the heart with divine power. Holy Trinity, are you hearing this? So you can I've been doing the argument with whatever. I'm telling somebody about Christ. But the Holy Spirit brings home the argument to the heart with divine power. So we need the presence and the power and the help of the Holy Spirit on our daily basis. So your ministry can be effective. So your ministry, when you can change others' lives. And also your life been changing on a daily basis. The words of the apostles were a sharp arrows of the Almighty, convicting men of their terrible guilt in rejecting and crucifying the Lord of glory. Are you hearing this, beloved? So we want our words to have power from on high to bring others to Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter 7, coming to a close. Okay, next time we have to go over this. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Who bring the argument home to the heart with divine power? The Holy Spirit. So in other words, many, they are rejecting who? Not you. But they are rejecting who? The Holy Ghost. Watch this now. I bring you here to emphasize a little bit with the Bible. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which slew before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. What cut them? Cut the heart? The words is like horror, beloved. Like a sharp two-edged sword. We need to ask Christ for the power of the Holy Spirit so when we witness to others, our words, while we're reading the word of God, it can pierce even our own heart so we can break up our fallow ground and ask Christ to purify us so we can represent the white horse, primitive godliness in these last days. We want see this righteousness of Christ to be manifested in our own lives. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is dealing with Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Notice, Stephen were preaching to the people, and their heart were what? Cut. When they, this is the opportunity for God's people to repent, to turn. What they did, they stoned Stephen and killed him. This is dealing with the apostolic church, beloved. Persecution was so great, many get weary and start to compromise. So that's why you see the church in the condition it's in today. This never started yesterday, beloved. We are talking about years of compromise, years of lowering the standard, years of putting the word of God and teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. When we are dealing with the condition of the four horsemen, we are dealing with Christendom, not only Seventh-day Adventists, Christendom, everyone who acts today believe in Jesus Christ. So, beloved, Jesus wants to purify us. Let us fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Either we've been shaken out, or we break up our fallow ground, and so Christ can wash us in his blood, so we can be whiter than snow. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this message that you have given to me, O God, dear people, help me first to take heed. While I'm seeking, I see my need. You touch, while I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters, you touching some areas in my life that need reform. Help my brothers and sisters, oh God. You know those who are struggling, oh God. I care because I speak to them like this. I care because I study to come and to share with them so they can grow spiritually, so they can get closer to you like never before. I care, oh God, because I want them to see a face. I care, oh God, because I do not want my brothers on this prayer line to become careless. Even though sometimes, Lord, all of us, we slip here and there. But, Lord, I'm here, Lord, to provoke my brothers and sisters to good works. And please, oh God, I need somebody to pray for me because Satan is wroth. He do not want me to present these things to my brothers. So bless my brothers and sisters. As we are about to depart from the phone, I pray that your presence will not depart from us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ricardo, for that message. Pray that everyone was blessed. Amen. As Psalms 46, starting at verse 1, say, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the water be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So we have to know who is our leader, who is our high priest, and it is God, it is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So thank you again for the message. Thank you for having God to use you mightily on this line and within your ministry. Brothers and sisters, please continue to read the word, continue to afflict your soul, continue to repent and see God, and search for him as a lost coin. Amen. So have a blessed night. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. Continue to strive to be overcomer. Continue to strive to be holy, as we know our God is holy. Amen. So blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. God bless you.